American songwriter, we had the opportunity to talk to Eliza over Zoom video. Originally from the country of Latvia, Eliza talked about where she grew up and how she got into music. She moved from Latvia to England to attend a music university. Since then, she's been releasing music, collaborating with different producers, and she just released a brand new song called London Eyes. And she has an EP coming out this year. You can watch the interview with myself and Eliza on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringin' It Backwards, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bringin' Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringin' It Backwards with Eliza. Thank you for doing this.
No, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's our pleasure. So this podcast is about your journey in music and how you got to where you are now.
Great. Let's get started.
Right on. Well, first talk about where did you grow up?
Yes. So I'm originally from Latvia. Don't know if you know where that is. It's a country in Europe, in Baltic states. So I'm from Latvia. I grew up in a small town, I would say. Mm-hmm. And that's where everything really started. That's where the dream happened. And that's where everything started. And since a very early age, I was into music. I started writing like poetry. And I just really kind of enjoyed spending time with like writing stories and discovering music and listening to music. And I was always daydreaming.
And like you said, you're writing that early. How old are you?
Well, yes, but it wasn't like very in-depth writing. It was more like, I remember like writing my first song with my sister and my cousin at the age of 6, 7.
Wow.
So it was always this like creative spirit in me and the people around me. And I actually remember like writing the song with them and then calling up a radio station and wanting to just like sing for just fun, because there was this radio show that would like accept calls and you could just call up and be like, I want to talk to you and I have a song for you.
Oh, so,
wow. Like, that happened.
That's really cool. Well, when did you learn guitar? I noticed you play guitar.
Yes. Well, I actually just started learning guitar this year.
Oh, wow.
When the first lockdown happened in March, I decided that I always wanted to learn guitar, and I did started learning guitar like maybe 5 years ago, but then it was always like on and off and I wasn't very consistent with my practice. Mm-hmm. But then when the lockdown happened this like last year, I was just like, okay, I have to learn a new skill, or I have to improve something. Uh-huh. I was like, guitar it is. So I got a new guitar and I was like, I'm going to do this. And yeah, I'm having lessons now. And
you're good. You're getting good. I mean, for only playing like from last year, I was shocked. Like, 'cause you on your Instagram, you play some songs and stuff with the guitar.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool. Yeah. Well, okay. So you must've started out singing. How old were you when you started singing?
So similar to obviously the age when I started writing and just messing around with music. Uh-huh. Was the time when I really enjoyed like singing and I enjoyed just music. So I went to music school from the age of 7 and I was playing violin, but I always was kind of a bit lazy when it comes to like instruments, but I always loved just like vocals and songs. So I would always prefer like classes where like solfeggio and like, you know, singing and technique. Mm-hmm. Rather than going and playing an instrument. So I just realized from a very early age that I want to improve vocal more than I want to be, you know, a musician playing an instrument. So mm-hmm. I started taking private lessons. I joined a girls band. I started writing my own songs, but those were like, obviously, what can you write when you're 10, 11?
Right.
You just start really learning about, you know, music. And mm-hmm. yeah, that's when everything really happened. And I always had that dream and I always had that something was telling me that, you know, you have to do this, and I just really wanted to do it. I knew it was a crazy idea to pursue music as a career, but it's just me, so.
Yeah, wow. Well, so you played violin. Was that the first instrument you learned?
Yes, okay. That was the first instrument, and then piano, and then now playing guitar.
Okay, you can play piano? I'm sorry?
I said I don't think I'll be able to play violin at this.
Oh, really? What about keyboard or piano? Can you still play piano?
Yes, I would say more like it helps me with writing, like mm-hmm. chords and, you know, sequences of melodies and stuff. But I wouldn't say that I'm super confident with like performing with the piano. That's another thing I want to improve actually this year, because now I can, I believe I can do it because I started learning guitar, and I know I can do it. I just need to do it myself. So this year is all about guitar and piano.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, so you said you went to a music school. Did you have to, like, was that just a choice? You can just, I mean, seven, you're going to music school. Is that something that you had to audition to get into that school, or is that just an option? Like, you know what, I want to go to the music school instead of whatever primary school.
Yes. So, well, I went to a normal school, like secondary school, is if that's what you call it in Latvia. And then I went to two schools at the same time. So the music school. So there was like a school from, you know, 8 a.m. or 7 a.m. till like 1-2 p.m. And then the music school from like 3 or 4 p.m. till like later in the evening. So.
Oh, wow.
I don't remember how the decision happened that we had to go to the music school, but I was very excited. My parents, I guess, knew that me and my sister, we were quite musical. And so we did ended up going to music school, and it was a classical music school, but it kind of was a great introduction into, you know, music theory, just training and really understanding, learning more about, you know, the basics.
Did they have you perform in front of the class, or were you able to kind of get comfortable on stage that way as well?
Yes, I would. Well, we had exams, like playing violin exams every term. It was definitely helpful, I believe, in like performance skills, but not as much as like pop performance, because you didn't have to, like, you know, it was different style. But at the same time, while I was doing, you know, while I was in the music school, I knew that I wanted to do singing. So I started taking like pop music private lessons.
Oh, okay.
From the age of 11. So I kind of knew that, you know, music school is great. It will finish when I'll be like 14. And then from the age of 11, I started taking like private lessons, more like pop music, and then choreography lessons for like dance classes and stuff like that. Cause I was always like, okay, great. I've done the classical training, but I want to do like pop music. So I was always like, you know, asking my dad, can I please take these, you know, can I please go to choreography lessons or singing lessons? Because we lived in like a small village, countryside kind of a area. And for us to get to like the city would be like, you know, I would have to ask my dad, drive us to the city. And yeah, it was kind of the whole journey and the process, but it was very exciting. And it was just, I just always like, it was the most exciting thing for me as a teenager, like to do this.
Yeah, definitely. That's cool. Well, when did you start writing your own songs and like actually showing them to people and performing them?
Yeah, so I'm kind of trying to go through this timeline of how.
Yeah, please. No, I'm jumping ahead.
All over the place, but
if you want to keep it linear, that's cool with me. I just didn't know how much further ahead that was, but that's cool. Yeah,
we're going step by step. It's great. So 11, I was starting taking lessons and then doing my own thing. And I knew that I wanted to like move and to a city where it's more busy, more dynamic, more things are happening, because in Latvia, there wasn't like a university I could go to for like popular music.
Yeah. So were there a lot of places to watch live music at all or no?
There are places to watch music, but it's very much like very Latvian style, and it's very traditional. It's like if you want to do music, you have to write and sing in Latvian. And I just always wanted to do more international style.
So people aren't getting up there and covering like American artists or artists in the UK that speak English.
Sorry, say it again.
I said, so there aren't like places you can go, like clubs or whatever, that maybe somebody would be playing like, you know, English songs or.
There would be. It would be just a mixture of also Latvian.
Everything. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just felt like it wasn't me exactly how I wanted to imagine my career or my life. So I knew that I wanted a more adventure, bigger audiences, bigger, you know, market. And I thought, you know, London was really great place to move to, because it was like 2.5 hours flight. And I applied for university in BIM, London Tech Music School at that time. So I got into that university and I was like, great, now we can do this, you know?
Yeah.
And so yeah.
That must have been exciting to get into that college.
Yes.
That university. Wow. How did you get in? Did you have to, you said you applied. What was the process like? Send songs or a tape of yourself singing?
Everything, all of that. So there was like, I had to like video myself of doing All Green cover. I think it was what was the name of the song? I can't remember right now, but I just remember those days, you know, going after school and recording.
Sent you the prompt and said, oh, you have to sing this Al Green song?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay.
You had like questions you had to answer and talk about it. And then once I did the stage one, there was like, you know, I had to like book my flights to London and I had to come for an in-person interview. Mm-hmm. So that was even more exciting for me. And
had you ever been out of your country before, prior?
Yes. I've been to London once before that. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, so I had like auditions in two different universities. I got accepted in both of them, but I decided that this was more for me. And and that's how everything really started. Like I learned a lot, like about music industry, about how to really write songs, because before that I wasn't really writing that much. So mm-hmm. that was time when I started writing and learning about songwriting and what is my style and what sound I want to, you know, put out there. And that was the very early days of me, you know, starting my career. And it wasn't, you know, obviously it was exciting, but it was also like very, very uncertain and scary at the same time, because it's not an industry where, you know, there's a path, this like an exact thing you need to follow. And
right, there's no formula for it. Exactly. It's like, it's all based on opinion.
Exactly. So, they always said that to us, you know, that there's, you know, you can go and teach, you can go and do, you know, other, you know, you can do, you can be a session musician. So I always knew that, you know, I don't want to teach and I don't want to be a session musician. I want to be an artist and I want to write my own songs and want to perform. But I also knew that it's not an easy industry to break into. So, but somehow, you know, I managed to, you know, to grow and to, mm-hmm.
When you were going to the school, were you playing any of your songs out like around London at all? Or like, when did you start writing your own songs and performing them? Mm-hmm. As like Eliza.
Yes, Eliza.
Eliza, sorry.
So during uni, I wrote my first songs, and obviously we had to perform some in front of class, but that wasn't really the main, you know, gig. Mm-hmm. So after I graduated, I wrote like a lot of songs and I wrote, you know, a lot of demos and stuff. And I started working with producers and I started doing like small performances and small gigs in like coffee shops and like clubs, and you know, there's those open mic nights, and that's when I started performing my own music. It wasn't always like recorded music, it was the music that I've written, and I wanted to like test, does this work with audience, it doesn't work. And those were some of my first songs. And so
Was it scary showing those to people for the first time? Especially like I would think like an open mic night would be pretty terrifying.
Yes, to be honest, it was very terrifying, but at the same time, the more I was doing it, the more obviously I improved, and I wasn't always like, you know, I would always ask like my friends like first for an opinion, like
right.
is this okay to show, or
Is this good enough to get in front of people, or are they gonna just boo me off the stage?
Yeah, but it was always great, you know, not great, amazing, like in terms of the songs, they were not the greatest songs, but when I listen back to what I was writing at that time, I sometimes like miss that time, because you can never write the same when you grow, you know, it's just
right, you can't go backwards.
It's just so interesting to like see how you grow as an artist and how you evolve and how your songwriting evolves and how you can never write the same style or same story again. And mm-hmm. It's fascinating in a way.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm looking at your Spotify, Mad for Love, or Mad for You is the first song that I'm seeing on there. Was that the first song that you recorded and put out to the world?
Yes, that was the first like official release that I did independently. And it was with a Latvian producer, actually. I went to record the song in Riga, my hometown where I spent like most of my teenage years.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, that was the first release. And I didn't really know how it works and how anything, like that was the first song I would be like, okay, now I'm starting, you know, putting music out there. But there wasn't really a plan, because I just didn't know how things work.
Sure. Yeah. Just put it out and see what happens type thing.
Yes. And also it was like, I feel like it was more like mentally telling myself that, you know, from today, I'm doing this, like, this is what I'm doing, and there's no way back.
Oh, okay. So that was kind of like the push, like, okay, I have a song, it's on the internet now. This is I'm a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So after you put that song up online, what'd you do?
So it's interesting how things, you know, start from, take from one thing to another. So after I put out that Mad for You, I started like, you know, receiving some emails from producers. They wanted to, you know, work with me, and I discovered this new world of like, you know, collaborating with people you've never met and like writing with people you never met. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, I didn't even, you know, I was like quite shocked that, you know, how did you find me? How did you find my music? So,
I was going to ask you that. How did they find it?
I mean, at that time, you know, I would have like some covers out there, you know, out of my website, Instagram, but it wasn't like I was doing like a lot of promotion. But I think, yeah, it was just that time when I feel like a lot of, you know, new up and coming artists were just trying to like find their, you know, connections and find people to collaborate with. And just now I feel like the industry in the UK is so small in a way. If you're in the music industry, you know everybody like everybody knows you, but it's just like it's really small. So you could just gotta start, you know.
No, yeah, definitely. Well, then after the, did you release that song when you were still, were you in London at that time, or did you move back home when you put out the Mad for You?
Sorry,
when you put out Mad for You, you were in London or no?
Yes, I was. I've always been in London since I moved for uni. I was just sometimes going back home to record, or sometimes going back home to spend some time with.
So you went back home to work on the song, because you said you worked with a producer, right? Yeah, there, exactly. From your home country. Okay. So he found you online or something, you said?
I found him, but I knew.
Oh.
Because he's doing quite well in Latvia, and he was one of the producers I thought, you know, this is someone I really want to work with. Probably the only person I knew at that time that from Latvia that I wanted to work with. So I reached out to him. I sent him some of my demos, and he liked Mad for You, and he produced it. And then I went to we get to like redo the vocals and finish the song, and that's how it happened.
Okay, yeah. So you said you put that out, and then other producers started contacting you.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay, so then what was the next move? Did you work with these people? Did you find one that you were like, okay, I want to work with this guy or girl?
Yes. So after Mad For You, I got connected with a UK-based producer, and we worked on some tracks for his project. So we put out this track, Horizon, by me and Jake Alder. So that was like a second collaboration that we did. He reached out to me, and we worked on that track. And after that, I realized that I need to really start working on like a catalog of music. And I knew what I wanted to do and what I had to do, but I just felt like I had to kind of take a step back and understand, like, you know, what is exactly me and what sound is me and what I want to, you know, show to the world. So sure. I took time to just write and like explore, write and, you know, make mistakes and just like build the catalog of my music. And that's when, I kind of wrote like most of my songs that will be now on my EP. And that have been like, you know, the latest releases.
Mm-hmm. Oh, those are all, non-collaborative songs?
Oh, they
Oh, they are collaborative.
Are, yes. It's okay. I'm putting them, you know, it's developing nicely. I'm just putting them in like one project. Like,
oh, got you. Okay.
Songs that I've written and the most important songs that I've written. But they've all been, you know, collaborations with other producers or other songwriters. From, you know, from UK, from the US, mostly from the UK or US. So I have a really exciting project coming up.
Very cool. And is London Eyes the first part of it, or will the other songs you put out prior be on the EP?
No, these, like, the songs that I've put out, like London Eyes, obviously is my latest single. And
Habit came out last year too, right?
Yeah. So last year I released London Eyes in September, then Habit in like June, July, and Want to Keep in February. So last year I released three singles.
Okay.
Those are like like singles on its own, and these won't be on, I don't think these will be on my EP as for now. But yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, tell me, you said you released the first one in February.
Mm-hmm.
We were like pretty locked down, or not February, March is when the lockdown happened, right? I'm trying to
February was
right before it.
Right before, and no one, like, to me, COVID wasn't, like, it didn't exist at that time.
Right.
So February was great. Like, I actually went to LA in February. That was like my last trip before lockdown happened. And I released my song, and I like celebrated the release with my friends in LA. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, it was like a Valentine's Day release. And it was a collaboration with Miles Stevenson. He's from the band Raksu.
Okay.
And he produced it. And that was like a really, really fun collaboration with him. And that was the first single of 2020.
Okay. And then, so you got back from LA to London, and then the world shuts down pretty quickly after that, right? Like a month or so later. And what's bizarre to me is that the whole world shut down, right? It's like not just the States or just the UK. It's like everywhere.
It was like this once in a lifetime experience that I don't think anyone like thought they would ever experience in their life.
Did you? No way. Yeah, it's still bizarre. Well, you guys just got back in a huge lockdown, right? The prime minister just came out and said nobody's going anywhere.
I know, it's just never ending. I was hoping for a better start of 2020. I mean, in terms of lockdown and everything, but I guess we just need to, you know, tackle this. And
because there's like a new form, there's like a mutated strain, I think, right?
Yeah, that's what they say, and I guess it's just, I hope things get better, but it's just been way too long to, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, like you, where you are, you're in London right now. Yeah. So what's crazy is like you guys just got in a heavy lockdown and this mutated strain or whatever. We're in California, and the only one that's happened here, there's been two, I think, in the whole state or the whole, all the states. And one of them was here. I live in San Diego, and it was in San Diego where the one weird mutated one is from. So it's like, we have it here, but who knows like what they're going to do. Is it going to be one of those things? I mean, our governor's crazy, so he'll probably just lock the whole state down again, but we'll see.
We need to like go out, and is everything open right now?
Sort of. You can get takeout food, but you can't sit inside or anything like that. You have to like everything, you know, masks and all that, but you can pick up food. You can't like sit in there, and they have like stores are open, but it's kind of like very monitored, like where if you went into a store that would usually have, you know, 200 people walking around, they'll cut it at like 40, and then there's like a line outside of people waiting to get into the store. So it's just a bizarre world. Well, with that, like, so you came back home and released Habit and London Eyes, and those songs were finished, recorded, ready to go prior to COVID?
Yes, those were finished and recorded. The only thing I had to do was like mixing, mastering, but that was, you know, to happen like remotely. I didn't have to be in the studio. So I knew I really wanted to release Habit actually like in April, in May, but there was a little delay because of the whole, you know, lockdown. And I wanted to do a music video for Habit, but again, there was, you know, lockdown. Yeah. And then when everything slowly opened, I'm so happy I used that like 1 week to like arrange the music video shoot, and we managed to do it because, you know, at that time it was okay to do it, obviously following the guidelines and everything. Mm-hmm. And then again it happened.
Yeah.
And then, so I was kind of like working and recording and filming and shooting in between those like breaks, and there was nothing else to really like do in terms of, I find it in a way that the whole year was great for me to focus on my work and music and the projects I wanted to do. Obviously it was challenging to arrange everything and limited, you know, access to studios or meeting people. But at the same time, somehow we managed to do it.
Right. Yeah. Well, with that, were you able to continue to be creative during the lockdown, or were you writing at all, or were you like, okay, I'm tired of being inside, I'm like not inspired at all?
Yes. So I would say, I'm just thinking now how many songs I've written. I would say it was more creative in a way, like ideas or like content or kind of plans that I wanted to, more of my like release schedules and things like that. I was writing, but I spent more time on like planning and marketing and social media and learning guitar. So I don't think I've written more than like three or four new songs, but I have written one song, which is going to be part of the EP. And I'm really, really excited about that song. And I've written with guys from LA. So it was like remote session, and it was like, and it was so good. And I'm just really excited.
Was it fun doing the remote session, or is it different? Obviously it's different, but like, tell me about the vibe and how writing over Zoom or whatever you guys use was different than being in the room. Do you feel like you got a different sound that way?
It was definitely very strange at the beginning, because I'm usually I love writing with other people, but I'm more like comfortable, you know, writing by myself. And especially when it's like Zoom, it's just even more strange to like open up and share your ideas and, you know, improvise when you're like on this looking at the screen.
Computer
you're like,
screen.
I'm supposed to like improvise now, like share all my ideas that I have. So it was very, very new and different experience, but we managed to do a pretty good job, I think.
That's cool. And songs recorded and everything, or no?
Yes, it's ready.
Wow. So how did you produce it? Did you go to a studio, or do you have a studio at your house that you could
I don't work produce out of? It myself. So I was working with a producer and another songwriter. They are based in LA. So mm-hmm. we had a session. I wrote the lyrics. We wrote together. You know, we finished the lyrics and melodies, and the production was kind of there. And then once we had the main, you know, main idea and main parts of the song, the producer finished it on his own, the production part. And then I went into the studio here in London to like redo the whole vocal.
Oh, okay.
At the time when there was, you know, studios were open. September. And that's how it's kind of back and forth. We sent the files and we finished it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And what about live shows? I mean, prior to COVID, were you playing out quite a bit or no?
Well, I'm still, you know, at the early stages in my career. So I wasn't sure. doing like very, you know, big live shows. I was doing like shows in Mahiki and like London club and bar. And I had last year, well, actually that was 2019 when I had like every Wednesday I was playing live sessions, and there were some like smaller gigs that were happening, but I was mainly focused on writing and recording. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm hoping that once all of this is over, I hope it will be over at some point, there will be, you know, grand live shows and festivals and things sure. like that I can take part in. But for now, it all seems very much digital and very much like live streaming rather than, you know, going to a festival, which is quite sad. And very different.
Yeah. With the live streams, do you enjoy those? Like I've seen a few of them on your Instagram. I know, well, we were talking about you playing guitar. Do you like doing the live ones? Is it nerve wracking? Is it weird? Because nobody's like responding directly.
Exactly. I haven't done too many of them, but I prefer doing them with like another person, you know, like let's do a joint, like, you know, gig. We play three songs each, or we do like an interview, like kind of, it's more fun to do with another person rather than just being by yourself. But that's one thing I want to do more this year, and like kind of just use the time that I have and improve the live streaming skills that I feel like are very important in today's world, as we don't have the actual real live shows.
I know, it's such a different world, and yeah, hopefully it all opens up soon.
I know,
and live music can be back and be a thing. Well, you talked about an EP. Do you have the one, obviously the one song done that you wrote with the guy people in LA? Do you have the whole EP completed or idea for it, or what do you have going on with so that?
I have all of the songs right now in place. I have all of them in place. They've been like, we're going through the process of like mixing and finishing touches and some additional production at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping to finish it by mid-February. Obviously now, because of some restrictions, there's like restricted time I can spend in the studio. So I have to see if there's, you know, it was planned for me to finish it in January and go in studio and record and take a week, full week off, and just, you know, focus on that. But right now, because of the situation where we are, it's a little bit of a delay and a little bit challenging, but at the same time, it's not too far from the finished product. So I'm quite positive about it. So I think it will be five or six songs. I have six or seven, but obviously I'm gonna put a couple of singles out, and then they'll be part of the EP. So can't say too much just yet, but it will be
very exciting. Very exciting. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been great. And really enjoyed this.
I do have one more question for you. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
I have more than one, probably like a lot of.
Let's hear it.
To think what would be the main you know, the most important advice, I feel like I remember myself, you know, like asking a lot of like well-established artists for an advice. Not that I'm at the stage where I would be able to, you know, give the most important advice to anyone, but from what I've learned so far, I would say it's important to like take time with your art and with your music and with yourself, and just not to be afraid to like make mistakes and to write, go into direction and then decide that, you know, that's not what you want to do. I feel like in music, like it's more important to try and fail and understand what you want and what you don't want, rather than just, you know, trying to rush it and just do it because, you know, everyone's doing it or because everyone's now releasing, you know, singles or EPs, you have to do it. I feel like just take time with yourself and listen to yourself. And I feel like it's important to also get, you know, support from other people, because there have been times where, as from my own experience, you know, I've been like doubting myself or like feeling very unsure. And I feel like especially like the industry, like music industry and wanting to do what so many people want to do is great. But at the same time, if you don't do this for the love of music, if you do it for some other reason, that it might not be the right thing for you. So just understanding like the why behind everything you do. I